I want to encourage you to take out a Bible. We have Bibles on the Bible cart. You might have a Bible on your phone, and turn with me to the book of Galatians. We're going to read again this morning. We started last week with the book of Galatians. This morning, some more verses from Galatians chapter 1. Maybe you want to grab a Bible for your neighbor if you're out there at the Bible carts. Now, I feel we have an elephant in the room this morning. And when I thought about saying that, I thought I have to explain elephants in rooms, because if you're not a native English speaker, you might think there's no elephant here, right? So when we say elephant in the room, we mean something that everyone knows is there, but no one is saying anything about it. That's the way I think about it. It could be a person. Like, what are they doing here? Don't say anything, but everyone's thinking about it. Or it could be something. And I feel like this door here, does this feel like an elephant in the room this morning? Like, what's happening? Why would someone bring a door and put it right in front of the cross? I'm mystified. I want to find out. And the chain on it, like it just... That, anyone else wondering? I'm wondering. Hopefully we'll find out sometime why that door is there. A reminder this morning that as we read in a few moments from Galatians, we call it a book in the Bible. It's really an ancient letter. 2,000 years ago, a man named Paul, leader in the church, wrote down this letter to a group of churches in Galatia, and he was trying his best, pulling out his hair. Why have you guys taken the message I gave you and twisted it into this different kind of message? So he's writing this letter, Paul is, to help them get the message right again. What's the message of Jesus? A right understanding, but also a right living of the message of Jesus. And in Galatians, there are big themes going on. And so we're using Galatians to connect with our Reformation banner. I mentioned this last week. Thank you again to those who put it together. When we're talking about the basics, like these five basic themes of this Reformation movement begun 500 years ago, our final authority being the Scripture or the Bible alone, how we connect with God through faith alone, why does God save us, how does God save us through grace alone, that it's Christ who is the only Savior, and what's our lives all about? Well, hopefully for the glory of God alone. And this morning we're going to pick up not specifically one of these five themes, but a word that we need to have in our vocabulary if you're thinking about the Christian faith. Like, it's so central, and I think the word we'll talk about this morning really is a summary of these five themes. So I'm going to pray, and then John Vandenacker is going to come and read Galatians 1, 6 to 24. Let's pray. So, Father, as John reads the word to us this morning, and as we listen to it, and then as we listen to the message, we ask, O God, you would help us by your spirits, make the word clear, make the message clear. May all of us understand and believe. And then, Lord, may we live in the freedom of your message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, John, if you'd come, and as John reads, let's be listening for the voice of Jesus in these verses.
I'm reading Galatians 1, verses 6 to 24, and I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we've said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went to Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea did not know me personally. All they knew was that the people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God. Now, maybe it's too obvious for me to say this morning, and some of you will say this is a massive understatement, but if you have lived in this Western culture for any length of time, you know that religion is not popular these days. And, you know, I'm assuming you have some sense of that, right? Religion is not a good word for most people. Most people avoid talking about religion. Most people avoid being religious. And I understand some of the reasons, I think, at least some of them, not all of them, but historically, especially in Western culture, the last 200 or 300 years, there have been people who've been promoting ideas that have caught on in larger society. And when people think about religion, they think about it with suspicion because of these ideas. And then certainly we have to confess that the history of the church, the things the church has done or promoted, has in the eyes of many people given it a very tarnished image. People don't trust the church or religion anymore. And then I hear the stories sometimes. This past week I was talking to a couple. They now have 4 children who are adults in their 20s and early 30s. The way that I think about this family, I knew them a number of years ago. Their children were raised in the church, raised by Christian parents. But now 3 out of their 4 children have left the church and really abandoned religion. And then last weekend, I was watching with Phyllis this Netflix documentary, that's what I would call it, called My Scientology Movie. It's about Scientology and someone investigating Scientology. And according to this documentary, Scientology is a warped and malicious religion. There is an overbearing, unstable, and violent leader. There's this kind of compound in California close to Hollywood where people, some of them at least, seem to be held against their will. Some of their activities seem to border on a kind of mind control. The followers of Scientology, at least some of them you see on the video, seem fanatical, very radical. And of course, there's money involved. Like if you want to move up in Scientology, this documentary was saying you need large sums of money to move from one level to the next. And some of you might say, well, that's not a religion. That sounds like a cult. And maybe that's true, but for some people who watch a documentary like that or hear about something like Scientology, they think Scientology, well, they're calling that a religion. And I'm hearing about what's going on there. And then people call Christianity a religion. So maybe there's a connection between what's going on in Scientology, that religion, and other religions, including Christianity. I can understand how someone would make a connection between all those weird things over here. Those same weird things are probably going on in other religions as well. Now, as I think about this, Scientology and people against religion, I find it remarkable that the Bible, especially the New Testament, hardly ever uses religion to talk about the Christian faith. I counted 4 or 5 times in the New Testament the word religion is used. A more popular word or way to describe the Christian faith is the faith or the tradition. That there is something that is meant to be passed on, a message, or we might say some kind of information that's meant to be passed on from person to person or generation to generation. Another word that's used much more often is the word message or the message, focusing on the content of what the Christian faith believes. But the main word that's used in the New Testament to describe the Christian faith is gospel. Maybe you're saying that, Andy. I couldn't quite catch it, but I heard gospel whispered over here, and I'll say it. It's the word gospel, or in the New Living Translation, as John was reading it, good news, which is a good translation of the word gospel. Gospel means good news, or good tidings, or good announcement, or good message. The word in the noun form used 90 times in the New Testament, and then beyond that, about 50 times where the verb, sort of the good newsing, when someone is talking about the gospel, we call it evangelizing. But when someone is talking about the gospel, good newsing or gospelizing, another 50 times, so we're well over 100 times in the New Testament this word is used to talk about the Christian faith. And in our passage this morning, I'm going to take it from the NIV translation, Galatians 1 verse 9, here's one of those times where we use the word gospel, or the New Testament does. Where Paul is writing this author, as we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, so the understanding is, I preached a gospel to you, good news to you. If someone is preaching another gospel, that's not my gospel. Or 2 verses later, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. There's a divine source to the message, this good news that I've told you. And then later on in the letter, I found this verse very interesting, Galatians 3 verse 8, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Now that's, for me, a fascinating verse because it's not just the gospel when Jesus came, right? This verse is saying 2,000 years before Jesus came, Abraham, this guy named Abraham, had some understanding of this gospel or this good news, which makes me realize it's not just when the Bible uses the word gospel that we have the gospel, right? Gospel or the gospel is a way of talking about the whole story or the whole atmosphere, or the whole tone of the Bible. The Bible is a message that we can summarize with the word gospel. Now, why do the New Testament writers use this word? Why do they choose this word to summarize the Christian faith? And I'm going to suggest there's 2 main reasons, maybe more, But first of all, for them, this word is a great word. It accurately describes the Christian faith. But I think they also use the word because it's such a great bridge word. It's a great word that bridges from them, the speakers of the gospel, to people who are hearing the gospel. So when they say gospel, when they use that word, they are connecting with people, Jewish people, who knew the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, when they knew the Hebrew Scriptures, and they would think, oh, I've heard that before in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. So the Jewish people that maybe Paul was talking to, they had some idea of a gospel. But for me, more fascinating is that when writers like Paul and other people in the New Testament use this word gospel, they're also connecting to the wider culture, because the wider culture also used the word gospel. So I want to read, I just find this so fascinating. I'm going to read something. It's known as the Priam calendar inscription. It comes from 9 BC. This is a few years before the birth of Jesus. This inscription was found on two stones in a marketplace in the old town of Priam, Turkey, today, Priam, Turkey. It's found, if you want to go there, it said it's found in the Berlin Museum now, if you want to go and see this. And these are words, I'm going to read them, but I just think, unbelievable, the language being used here, words being used about Caesar Augustus. So this is what they found, 9 BC, in this little town, in this marketplace, since Providence, now my ears perk up right away. When you use the word Providence, I'm thinking kind of, from a Christian point of view, but I have that word in my vocabulary. Since Providence has set in most perfect order by giving us Augustus, whom she, Providence, filled with virtue, that he might benefit humankind, sending him as a Savior. Unbelievable. Since the birthday of the God Augustus was the beginning of the good news for the world that came by reason of him. Oh. So when Paul is using the word gospel, when he goes to Rome or Athens or Corinth, people had an understanding, Caesar Augustus or maybe other Caesars, there was a gospel about them, that they were the epitome of the gospel, the good news. So I'm suggesting that when Paul in this letter, but others as well, use the word gospel, it's the right word, it's good news coming, but it's also, I want to connect to Jewish people, to Gentiles, to insiders, to outsiders, to those who are religious, to those who are irreligious, because everyone knows this word. And so I can make a connection, but I can also challenge them, because the gospel I'm talking about is not about Caesar Augustus or another Caesar or the Roman Empire. It's a different gospel. It's about someone different. And in our day, maybe it's not true for you, but I find myself these days using a word like story. When I think about the Bible and a word that might connect with other people, I find myself using the word story that maybe connects with them, right? Because everyone knows a story, their own story, story in a country song, story in a movie. And I want to say the Bible or the Christian message is like a story that you know, except it's a different story. It's got a different hero in the story. And I want you to hear that story. Now, I want to spend a little time with you this morning talking about the gospel and asking, how is it different than religion? Right? Because I'm saying the Christian faith is not a religion. At least not the way most people think about religion. How most people use the word religion is not the Christian message. So let me just compare and contrast religion with gospel for a few moments. I think for many people, religion is humanity seeking God. I got to climb a ladder to get to God. The gospel is God seeking humanity, God coming down, God initiating contact with us. Religion is oftentimes what we do. Religious acts, morality, behavior. The gospel is what God has done. Religion is a lot about rules and duty and what I have to do. The gospel, I'm going to say, is mainly about relationship with God through Jesus Christ that's meant to lead to delight and joy. Religion can often be good advice. I got a problem. How is religion going to help me solve this problem? Gospel is primarily news. News. Something's happened. You have to know what's happened. I'm going to get the news out to you. And religion, I think for many people, is impersonal and institutional. The gospel is meant to be personal and very much named. So this morning, I'm kind of talking about the gospel sort of like an idea. But when push comes to shove, I want to say the gospel is a person. Jesus is the gospel. He is the gospel incarnate. He is the, when you see him, you're meant to see the gospel. Other ways, and again, I've found this helpful for me to make the distinction between religion and gospel. Religion says, I obey. Therefore, I'm accepted by God. I think a lot of people, including Christians, we live our lives this way. I got to do certain things. I got to come to church on Sunday morning to kind of keep the relationship going. And so God will shine his favor, be good to me, be nice to me. The gospel says, I'm accepted by God through Jesus Christ, therefore I obey. Religion says, another way of saying it, I obey in order to get things from God. The gospel says, I obey to get God himself, to delight in him and resemble him. Now, in our day, and this is, I think, a recent way of talking or a recent phrase, I didn't hear it when I was a kid or even, I don't know when it started, but we hear a lot about fake news. I don't know when that term started, right? There's news that's not fake news, true news, and then there's fake news. And now we got to figure out what news is true and what news is fake. I don't ever remember that as a kid. When I heard news, I assumed it was true. Now we got to figure out, where's the truth coming from? Where's the fake stuff coming from? And that's very much in this letter called Galatians, right? Paul is saying, you guys got the fake news. You got the fake gospel. I told you the true news, the true gospel, but people in your churches are saying something different. And for Paul and these churches, what they were saying, how they twisted the gospel was, you got to believe in Jesus. Everyone knows that. But that's not enough. You got to keep the Sabbath. You got to eat certain kinds of foods. Some of you guys, you got to get circumcised if you haven't been circumcised yet. And there's certain people you can't eat with. Basically, you got to become a Jew. So believe in Jesus, yes. But it's also all these other things. And when Paul heard the reports of that, that's why he's like pulling out his hair. I didn't tell you that. I didn't tell you Jesus and all this other stuff. I'm not telling you have to become Jewish to become a Christian. Just believe in Jesus. Now, some of us might think, that's the way I think about the Christian faith. I think, believe in Jesus, but I got to go to church. I got to dress a certain way, there's a whole list of things I'm not supposed to do. But that's not the essence. Paul's saying, what's the essence? When we ask each other, why are you a Christian? How do you come into the Christian faith? It's not faith in Jesus and all these other things. But sometimes the way we live our lives, it's very much like these churches. And throughout the church's history, this is the way It's gone. False gospels are fake news. 500 years ago, Martin Luther, he's sort of in the background of these sermons during the fall season. He heard the message, if you give some money to the Pope or to the Catholic Church, the Pope is going to release some of your relatives out of purgatory. Or he's going to shorten the sentence. If you climb up these stairs, especially if you can do it on your knees, saying certain kinds of prayers every time you go up these stairs in the city of Rome, well, it's amazing what God's going to do for you. In our day, it could sound like this. If you do the right things, then God will love you. If you're a good person, God will bless you. If you behave in a certain way, you can belong here at Nelson. Wouldn't that be great? If you behave in a certain way, you can become part of the church community. And I think so often our presentation of the Christian faith, the way we approach each other, is like this. Stop behaving badly, and then Jesus will love you. Then Jesus will accept you. If you get your kids in line and your family in line and yourself in line, then come on in. The fake news of the gospel always puts the cart before the horse. It's always, you do something, and then God's going to do something for you. Right? That's how it often, so often seems like. Fake gospels, fake news of the Christian message always start with us. It always becomes a, kind of like a business deal with God. So if you have heard the Christian message as mostly about what you must do, you haven't heard the gospel. If you hear the Christian message as mostly about your behavior, you haven't heard the gospel. If you've heard the Christian message as mostly about how to live a better life, you haven't heard the gospel. If you've heard the Christian message as a straitjacket, all the things you can't do, you haven't heard the gospel. Here's just, and for me, when I take this lens on the Bible or the Christian faith, there's so many ways we can articulate what the gospel is. They're all variations on the same theme. But let me just give you a couple of verses from the Bible that help me understand what the gospel is. When I take this lens and say, not what I do first, but what God does first, that's the gospel, then verses like this really come alive. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world. So there we have God initiating contact, God coming to humanity to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is Paul, the same writer as in Galatians. And I say, I take him at face value. I think Paul was the worst sinner there ever was. I'm believing this verse. And the good news is, if God could save the worst sinner there ever was, there's hope for us. There's hope for me. If he's the worst, if he's at the bottom of the pile or the top of the pile, however you do that, if God saved the worst sinner, that's good news. Or Mark 10:45. I can't get enough of this verse, actually. I've said this a number of times in messages. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So often, the Christian faith is peddled like, you got to serve Jesus. He needs a lot of help from you. He's got a lot of stuff he has to do. And you're the man, you're the woman, you're the child, you're the youth that could serve Jesus. That's the Christian faith. And Jesus says, I've come to serve you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Not you serving me, but I've come to serve you. And the way that I'm saying it, this is my articulation this morning, Jesus Christ has perfectly served the world by doing everything necessary to bring us into a joy-producing relationship with the living God. Now, that's not Bible. That's just Pastor Yo. That's my articulation. But it's my way of saying, let's focus on what Christ has done, what Jesus Christ has done for us, not on what I'm called to do, first of all. That's not the gospel. That's the outworking of the gospel. So this morning, I just want to end with a couple of questions. Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard the good news? Is the Christian message good news to you, or is it religion to you? Is Jesus Christ good news to you, or does he sound like religion to you? And I want to put the hearing of the good news of the gospel on the same level as, Eddie, you've won $10 million. Now, I'm sure if that was really happening, it'd be more than just a thumb up, right? Wow. So if we can imagine, if I heard that news, you've won the lottery, the cancer is gone, all the symptoms of MS is gone, they're all gone. The good news of the gospel is meant to land on us at least with that kind of impact. Wow! Awesome! Something like that is supposed to happen in our hearts. For people who have heard it before, so it's not just, oh, I remember 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I became a Christian. That was pretty cool. I had a pretty good time. But now it's all kind of bland. The good news is supposed to become continual amazement at how good this is, but also for those who have never heard it or are just learning about the gospel message. And I wonder these days how many people hear the Christian message as be good, go to church, be nice, and they never actually hear what God has done for them and for us through Jesus. I'm hoping that this understanding of the gospel might help us this fall as we look at these different themes and other themes as well. We have to keep asking, when I hear a message on Sunday morning from whoever's giving the message, is that good news? Because if it's not good news, either there's something wrong in the communication. So either I or the church, we're not doing a good job of communicating it, or just the understanding. You know, maybe we're communicating as best we can, but I'm just not getting what you're trying to tell me. And then not only have we heard the good news, but are we sharing the good news as a church community? I mean, this is one of the things, main things that we're about at Nelson Avenue. Telling, showing, acting, sharing good news of Jesus Christ with each other, our friends, our families, the world around us. And I'm wondering this morning if it's true, if the Christian message is not religion but the gospel, if that's at the center of the universe, if the gospel's at the center of the universe, if this is the way God interacts with us, not on religion, not you first do, then God will do for you, but rather if the foundation of the message and the universe is a gospel foundation, how that might affect us. Us and God. You mean I don't have to obey God for God to like me, love me, accept me? There's a different way God's working in my life? Wow. But also how we interact with each other. That what if our relationships were with one another, classmates, co-workers, friends, others, wasn't based on religion? I think as so often they are, right? You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. You're good to me, I'm good to you. What if they were based on the gospel? That I'm not interacting with you, smiling and being nice because you're nice to me, but there's a different foundation underneath our relationship. And this message, I want to suggest this morning, is meant to be good news for all kinds of people. And part of the task of the church is trying to find ways of bringing this good news to all kinds of people. People who are asking the big questions of life, people who have doubts, people who have been abused, people who have done the abusing, people who've been bullied, and people who are the bullies. People who are struggling with addictions and bad choices and sins. Those who are lonely. Those who are wondering, who am I? Or maybe a lot these days, I think maybe the question is, what am I? Am I straight? Am I bi? Am I gay? Am I trans? The Christian message for all those people is meant to be good news. And so part of our task, our calling, are we hearing it as good news? But also, are we sharing it as good news with others? And this morning, as I pray, which I typically do at the end of the message, and sometimes what I'm doing is I'm going to pray the message into us, right? So we've heard the message, now I'm just going to say the message in a prayer, and hopefully if you didn't hear me say it, you're going to hear me when I pray it. And this morning what I want to do, maybe it's a little bit like that, but what I want to do is confess. Confess for me, for all kinds of other pastors, church leaders, or church in general, that I think, my sense is, we don't often get to the gospel. We're too focused on religion. That's my sense of how the church operates way too often. Our relationships are all religion. Our relationship with God is all religion. The way we interact is all religion. And I'm wondering, even sometimes for myself, have I heard good news from Jesus? Or do I always think of him as kind of a bad news kind of savior, a bad news kind of person? So I don't want to ask you this morning so much, do you believe? I have already asked that. Have you heard it? But this morning I want to confess for me, for the church, maybe for others of us. We say, man, I've been interacting with my kids or my spouse or my friends or people at church, not on a gospel foundation, but kind of a religious foundation. And I want to confess that along with Pastor Yo, that God do something to change that orientation, the way we relate to God and to each other. So, Father, you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ. You have interacted with the world for good reasons, to bring good news into our lives. And we confess, Lord, sometimes we just twist that so much, and we think of you as a bad news God, and Jesus is a bad news Savior, and the Christian faith is bad news religion. And even, Lord, sometimes the way I've spoken of it, or the way we've spoken of it, the way we in some ways promote it, Lord, we promote religion and not gospel good news. So we confess that. We ask that you'd forgive us. Lord, where that's happening in our lives, oh Lord, just reveal it. And then, Lord, may something else become the foundation. May something else become the orientation of our lives. Not religion, not us working so hard for you, but us hearing the good news that you have worked for us, oh God. You have sent your Son. You've done something for us. Amazing and glorious and awesome. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.